This week I spent most of the week at an event called Christian Community Development Association, CACDE, Portland this year. The organization I work for sponsors it. And so it's a group of about several thousand people around the country who are mostly congregationally based or working with nonprofits that are connected to churches. And it was so inspiring. People just like us from all over the country who love God and are responding to the call to follow Jesus in their context and to try to make a difference. Asking the question, how do you proclaim and demonstrate the gospel in a way that somehow begins to meet the overwhelming needs that are around us? And the thing that I love about this group is that they're just trying to figure it out. Right? There's no blueprint. You can't turn to your Bibles on page 175 and there's the blueprint for how to be the church. I mean, if you read the New Testament, you'll see that there's a variety of ways the church gets expressed throughout the New Testament. So there's no one right way to do it. And they're all trying to figure it out, often on a shoestring budget, often without enough volunteers, often in the midst of their own very busy lives, trying to just keep their own lives from falling apart, which is where a lot of us live, I think, some days. And what I found really interesting were the things that kept emerging in the conversations that I had with these people from Texas and California and Pennsylvania and Michigan and all these other places, where these similar themes kept emerging of things that they cared about and were wondering about. How do we create an authentic community around us where we feel the support of God's people? How do we generate enough sustainable resources to do the work that we are feeling asked to do? How do we discern what is our faithful witness? How are we supposed to demonstrate, again, God's love in our community? How do we find the presence of God in our life then? To nurture our own spirits enough so that it's sustainable, spiritual formation keeps. And lastly, in the midst of all that is, do we take time to actually worship the God we say we love and serve? Or are we just out there doing? So you might hear some resonant themes with what we come up with in terms of things that seem to matter to us, things that seem to be central to being the church. The crazy thing about it, of course, is in each of their contexts, it looked really, really different, right? Because the needs in their community were really, really different. And so they gathered to try to be with other people, to be a part of the larger church, to connect, to feel like a part of something bigger. Today, by the way, is World Communion Sunday, the day we ought to be celebrating the fact that we are connected to brothers and sisters all around the globe. We Quakers type make this world Quaker Day, which you may have, some of you who are Quakers might know that's also today. But it's actually even bigger than that. This is the Sunday where we recognize that we are connected to the people of Christ all around the world, and we're in this thing together. And we are, it's much bigger than us and all the really important things that we want to do here. Anyway, I came home from this week just feeling inspired again and mindful of the work that we're continuing to do with our visioning process. You know, we've been having these conversations. We created this guiding document that you've all seen that is supposed to help shape our lives for the next while as we continue to discern God's will for us. The one thing I've tried to say over and over again, though, is that this work isn't just something we do and then we're done. Right? Visioning is an ongoing work. It's continuing to try to pay attention to how is Jesus leading us, how is God calling us, what's our response to that command to just follow me. So as a community, we ought to continue to cradle the mission and vision of our church. We ought to continue to prayerfully think about how it gets lived out. But we've taken this time as a community to say, let's stop though, and let's use it as an opportunity to reset, to regather people, to ask folks to recommit to who we are and what we're called to do together. That's been the point of this process. So again, we have this guiding document. This week, every night of the week, there's groups that people have signed up for to participate in now doing some prioritizing, to winnow this down into something that would lead us in some next right steps. So about 40 or 45 of us are going to participate in that. And their job is going to, again, be to prioritize. I want to invite you to pray for those groups this week. Even if you chose or were not able to participate, you can participate by praying for them. Spirit might actually lead us. God might actually be real and involved in helping us make some next right steps. And that the groups who are doing this work will be open to whatever it is God might say to us. That we might use our creativity and imagination and our faith to actually move forward. After that, we're putting together some teams that are going to then design that work. And you're going to have a chance to sign up for one of those again. I'm going to put this in the back as you go. You can see if there's one of those groups you'd like to be part of. It's going to take the work that's done next week and then make it actionable. And then in November, we're going to have an opportunity to meet again in small groups to approve this plan, to think about the budget implications of this plan, to think about the staffing implications of this plan. And by the way, the elders met last week and I think have sort of finalized job descriptions for whoever will be our new pastor and our new youth pastor. So that will be coming to you at a business meeting soon. So really at the verge of making some concrete steps of planting a flag and saying, here's where we're going now, right? It doesn't mean it's gonna be perfect. It doesn't mean there's gonna be some false starts and missteps. We're involved, after all, right? People are involved. And we're doing our very best to try to be faithful. But we're gonna plant that flag and move forward. Today's worship service invites us to a conversation around the Micah 6 passage, where we're called to do justly and love mercy and walk humbly with our God. And the thought behind that was to connect it to our discussion or preaching about Micah, but also to remind us that here's an opportunity for us as a community to just sort of test ourselves and to say, are we truly open to everything that God is asking of us? Or as much as we can discern, to be open to how God may be speaking into my life, how God is speaking into our lives, both things that we may need to confess or to work out, but also to be open to new things that God may be calling us to do. So that's today, and I want to encourage you, as we act and sing a couple of songs, to center in and to open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit. Leslie will come up and lead us in the first query. We'll take some time in some small group conversations, a little bit of reporting back, and then we'll have another query after that. So, thank you.
Our text today comes from Micah 6:6-8. I'm going to read it for us this morning. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before God with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? God has told you, O mortal, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. This is the text we'll be using this morning for our small group discussions. So in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to get into groups of six-ish. And we'll have kind of two movements. The first one will be a query, some sharing, and then some musical play, and it'll start to let you know it's time to finish up a conversation. We'll sing a song together, and then I'll invite you to share what rose out of your small group, where there's common themes, or maybe something that felt weighty. I'll invite you to share. So our first query for today comes from this passage, this beginning part. Greg, if you'll flip through to the first query. We see the Israelites waking up, or at least realizing that they have done wrong. And they're trying to figure out what is going to make this right with God. And this is where we get this passage where it's like, is it my firstborn? Should I give you rivers of oil? Will this make it right? And I think it's really tempting as, okay, Rusty St. Cyr coined this phrase for me decades ago of being a professional Christian, kind of when you're just really used to it. You read the Bible for a sermon, you lead folks in prayer, or you've been part of the church for the long time, and so it can start to feel rote, right? So when you've been in the church a long time and we fail before God, it's like, oh, I know what to do today, right? I will pray and I will put on sackcloth and ashes. Or I've really never done that, but like we kind of know what is expected or what God might require of you. And it's sometimes easy to check that box. Okay, I did it. I did the thing. I was contrite before God, I apologized. But hearkening back to what Janine said when she started worship, reminding us to worship in spirit and in truth, what is God asking of you, of us? It may not just be what you're used to doing. It may not be, you know, the tithe check that you've consistently, faithfully given. It may not be these hours of service that you give. Maybe God is calling you to something, and you're even maybe sensing it, but for whatever reason you're resistant, or you don't want to. So that's our first query for this morning. It's going to be, what is God asking of me and of us? And if you're new to North Valley, this is a question for you as well. I think this passage applies to all of us at all the time. And friends, in spirit and in truth, what is God asking of you, of us, for this moment in space and time?
It's the last part of the text that God has told you, O mortal, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with your God.
So the invitation is to keep leaning into this together, right? To determine that we are called to be the body of Christ here in our community and we need each other. Do this work well, and it's what we are called to do, to be the light in the neighborhood. When I was at the CCDA conference, I connected with members of the Bruderhof community. I had a long connection with them, and we got to talking, and I did a little thing for the discount, but I gave a talk, and the Bruderhof community came up afterwards and spoke to them and said, you should come join us. Meaning we should move there. And so Jane moved to Pennsylvania. But I said, that's probably not going to happen, but I'm not going to visit it. But what I'm getting is a card, and the Bruderhof, if you're not familiar with it, they've written, and everything's in common. It's a very attractive way for me thinking about the Christian life. And the fellow that gave me this card said, it said, another life is possible. That was the thing. And it is. Another life is possible. It doesn't mean you have to have all things in common. You don't have to necessarily sell everything. Although you might. That may be the call, right? But another life is possible here in this place. Not only for ourselves, but for this community that we serve. We are called to make a transformational difference in the lives of the people around us. We're to be the hands and feet of Christ. We're to proclaim and demonstrate God's good news. And I can't do that by myself. I don't think any of you can. We really do need each other. So as we move towards closing, our worship leaders will lead us in this song. I do invite you to pray for us in this vision process as we work at these next steps. And let's see what emerges. And let's engage it. And let's experiment together in the good news of God's kingdom. So thanks for joining this conversation today.